A postscript, Orson Scott Card.
So, it's been 20 years since Ender's Game was first published as a hardcover novel. Of course, for me, it's been a lot longer than that. It was a short story, originally, a novelette, according to the technical definition, that came out in the August 1977 issue of Analog. But let's go back even further than that. It was 1967 when I first came up with the idea of writing Ender's Game, of the story of Ender's Game. My older brother, Bill, was dating a girl named Laura Dean Lowe, who later, of course, became Mrs. Bill Card. And at the time, she was an avid science fiction reader. Bill was interested in science fiction also. And she introduced him to the Foundation trilogy. And knowing that I also was somewhat interested in science fiction, they gave me the first and third volumes, Foundation, that's what it is, and then Second Foundation by Isaac Asimov. They weren't able to pick up the middle book. But Isaac Asimov's magnum opus was wonderful for me. It was illuminating. I hadn't read science fiction in several years at that point, and not on a regular basis. And I plunged into that book, and it came to life for me. I've always admired Asimov. I still admire him as probably the finest writer of English prose in the American tradition, the plain tradition, where you don't have highly decorated and highly figured speech, but instead the narration is as clean and clear and the author is as invisible as possible. And as I read the Foundation trilogy, I came to realize that this is something that I really would like to do myself. I often tell young writers that there are two reasons for becoming a writer. One of them is you read something wonderful and you say, oh, wow, I want to be able to write like that. The other reason is you read something absolutely awful and you say, man, if that got published, I can write. Well, I always tell people that my motive for starting out as a writer was the latter. And it's really true. When I actually practically started writing, when I actually started setting words down on paper in a serious way, it was because I had seen some plays that I thought were pretty awful, and I thought, if that can be put on, I can write plays. And so I started doing it, and they were put on, and that was the beginning of my writing career. But my interest in becoming a writer actually was prompted by the first motive, and it was reading Isaac Asimov that made me think, I'd like to be able to do that. I'd like to be able to tell stories that can make people feel the way I feel when I'm reading Asimov's Foundation trilogy. So I set myself the task, then in 1967, I was 16 years old, set myself the task of figuring out what a good science fiction story would be. Now, at the time, the Vietnam War was on, and my brother Bill was in the military. In fact, he was stationed at Fort Douglas while he was dating Laura Dean, and he was recovering from a broken leg that happened while he was riding bikes with me and my younger brother, Russell, while Bill was on leave from the military. So he had already served in Korea for a while, and now he was stationed in Salt Lake City and close at hand. But I had been aware of all of his training. He had gone through basic training and had been an outstanding private in that setting. In fact, so outstanding that they moved him on to Officer's Candidate School. But he washed himself out. He chose not to continue there because to him it just made no sense that they would try to train somebody to be an officer by breaking his will and treating him really badly. He felt like they should be treating them well and helping them to rely on their own sense of initiative. So he felt like it was a counterproductive training program, and from what he said, I believed it absolutely. So the issue of training, what good training would be, what bad training would be, was strongly in my mind. And I must confess also, of course, at the age of 16, I was only a year and a half, couple of years maybe away from being draft age at 18. And that had to, play a role in my thinking. And I remember at the time, what I feared most was basic training. I honestly didn't fear death. For one thing, anybody with a brain would know that somebody who types 80 to 100 words per minute was never going to be on the front lines anywhere. I was going to be in some office somewhere typing up some general's orders or something like that. My chances of actually being a grunt soldier in danger of losing life and limb in Vietnam were nil. But what I dreaded was basic training. I was not an athletic person. All of basic training, no matter what branch of the service you were going into, was going to be about climbing, ropes and going over obstacles and ducking under bullets. And I didn't mind the ducking under bullets, wasn't afraid of getting dirty. But the second I would have to climb up a rope hand over hand or chin myself, I had never been able to do a chin-up in my life. I was not strong. And I wasn't fat, but I was soft-bodied and had some extra weight. It was just not, you know, the military was not something that I looked forward to. So training itself was an object of dread for me personally.